The Big News Coming Soon podcast is proudly sponsored by BRB Homes. BRB Homes is Ireland's number one award-winning manufacturer of factory-built homes. We take your home from start to finish. Our homes are A-rated and meet planning regulations. We build to your requirements and your budget. The cost includes your home being turnkey and our chartered engineer's fees. Please get in touch for a viewing of our show homes, a brochure, or for more information. Let BRB Homes take the stress out of your build. Check out brbhomes.ie.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to this week's episode of Big News Coming Soon. We're back in Ballina again, and this week we're talking to the king of Ballina, Mr. Garan Noon.
Garan, yup, Ballina.
Wait, is that a Ballina thing? Yup.
I don't know. I'm saying it, though.
I thought it was a Longford thing.
I think you get it everywhere. It's okay. Yup is a term of endearment for anywhere, I think.
Okay. Garan, thanks a million for joining us. You've exploded over the last few months on social media, it's fair to say.
Exploded is a strong word, but yeah, for sure. There are definitely a few people watching these days.
And it's not one platform, it's a few platforms all at the same time.
Well, I was just doing TikTok. Well, I was just doing Instagram for music, and then I started putting up videos, and people were like, oh, they're funny, you should throw them up on TikTok. So I did. And then for some reason, people started watching them.
Right.
So I just kept posting them. And then I was like, oh, geez, I should probably put these up on Instagram as well. People might watch them there too. So I've recently started putting them on Instagram as well.
And when did you start?
It would have been probably October, I'd say, last year.
And what drove you to start?
So I was posting music on my Instagram page, and I had a few followers, like probably, I don't know, like 5,000 or something like that. So I used to put up like just videos of me just being a gobshite, like just eating food and going, that was nice or whatever. And people were like, oh, you should throw these up on TikTok. And I was afraid of TikTok. I didn't understand.
Now, you say being a gobshite, though, but you're very intelligent and you have a great grasp of the English language, to be fair. So it's not just being a gobshite eating a potato waffle saying, oh, this is a potato waffle. Like, you're almost changing the design of boxes here.
I think we've got a very lyrical manner of speech here in Mayo. So
yeah.
I think that appeals to a lot of people, yeah.
Yeah, possibly.
I wouldn't say it's out of the ordinary for a Mayo man, though. I think we're all kind of like this.
Was there a particular video that exploded, or did it just happen over a series of videos? Was there one particular moment where you went, whoa, this is getting big?
Yeah, so I was fairly lucky in that. When I posted I think it was like the first or second video I posted on TikTok, it was me talking about all the ice creams you can buy in the shop, and I did a tier list of which ones were the best. And it was about four videos. It was about 16 minutes of me talking about ice creams. But it got about 100,000 views. So, and it got a lot of engagement. Mostly people arguing with me and telling me I was wrong, but I was like, oh Jesus, people actually watch things on TikTok. Maybe I'll just keep firing them up. So it was kind of steady enough. I did have a few videos that did very well. One in particular where I was talking about Chinese.
The food or the people?
The food, very much so the food.
All right, okay.
There's a bit of a controversy with that on TikTok at the moment.
The Chinese,
actually.
A great bunch of lads. All right, go on.
But it was me basically talking about how Irish people order Chinese. And that sort of went a bit viral, I think, because people from other countries were so fascinated at how un-Chinese our Chinese food was. And it was basically just me taking the piss out of us for what we eat. And that video did very well. And I think it was at that point I was like, geez, you can get a good few people watching these videos if they're all right, you know. So
is the secret to your success then a bit of controversy, hoping that people will say you're wrong?
I don't think so. Like, sometimes I do. Like, sometimes I know what I'm doing. Like, sometimes I know when I say something, like, people aren't going to like this.
You're putting out the breadcrumbs.
But it's not lies. Like, it's what I actually believe. A lot of people think I make, like, opinions up just to piss people off. Like, the other day I said that barbecues aren't, the food isn't nice at a barbecue.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, that got a lot of views because people were very pissed off at me for saying it. But I do truly believe that.
Barbecues aren't that nice. The food just tastes a little bit burnt. And to be honest with you, I think people only pretend to like them because cooking sausages outside is a little bit more fun than cooking them inside. Anyway, follow me. I'm delicious.
I was driving along. I was in the passenger seat of a car during the week. And that video came up on my page. And the driver now, he'd be a serious enough kind of guy and you wouldn't really get much of a reaction out of him. You never see him laughing very often. But I played that out loud and he started laughing. And I thought, wow, if this fella laughed at that, and it was only 20 seconds long.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was driving along and he goes, that's true.
But it is true. It is true. People, listen, barbecues are fun, right? But the food is horrendous at barbecue. Yeah, yeah. Have you ever had barbecue and gone, geez, that was not, I'd love to eat, just eat that at home. You'd never choose to eat it at home.
Here's a lovely succulent burned sausage.
Like, I just think we need to accept, look, we'll just drink outside, we'll go and cook the stuff on the pan where it's nice, and we'll bring it out.
Or get a takeaway. Pizza.
Yeah, we just need to normalise not ruining the food on a barbecue.
Yeah. So how many followers do you have at the moment?
I think I've got 165,000 on TikTok.
Yeah.
And then I've only got, well, only got, that sounds very arrogant, I don't mean it like that at all. I've got about 15,000 on Instagram, but I only really started doing Instagram in the last... properly in the last month or so, I'd say.
Isn't it amazing how you can put the same video up at the exact same time on the two platforms and one can get 5 million and one can get 500?
But you know what is great about it is sometimes I put up a video and it doesn't do well and it's my fault. I watch it afterwards. I'm like, Christ, what was I thinking? Why did I think that was funny? This is so clearly not funny. What land was I living in? But sometimes I put up a video and it gets no views on TikTok and I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with people? This is a hilarious video. But what I'm finding now when I put it up on both platforms, some audience is going to recognise the genius. Yeah. And if it fails on both, usually I'm like, yeah, that video was atrocious. Yeah.
So let's talk about life then before TikTok and Instagram. You are a musician and a singer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're in a band?
No, just like either myself or in a two-piece with another girl here from Ballinagh, Grace.
And what, do you have a name for the two-piece?
No, it's the two names, us. Just Grace and Gareth. We're just sort of pub playing, it's nothing too...
So are you local?
Worldwide.
Are you local legends?
I wouldn't say that at all, no. We actually play probably outside Ballinagh more than we play. You want to just give them little bits, you know?
Well, it's true what Cowboy Kelly said as well. He said, you'll never be a prophet in your own land.
This is the truth, I think, yeah. Yeah. Not that the people of Ballinagh they're brilliant, but, you know, just give them little tastes.
And has your notoriety increased on the streets of Ballinagh?
Yeah, like, it's very strange because it's over a very short period of time, so, like, in the last like 2 or 3 months, people have started asking me to take pictures with them, which has been a very strange experience when random people. Yeah. Even yesterday, I was in Dublin and I was in Houston Station, and Houston Station is packed with people. So I was like, okay, I don't really want to have to deal with people coming up to me now because I'm very tired. So I'll probably just be rude and not mean it at all. So I was like, I'm just going to sit in the back of Supermax. So I went into Supermax in Houston Station. I was like, I'll be sound here. Nobody's going to see me here. So I was just eating my chicken burger. And the fella sitting right across from me starts fucking smiling and going on his phone, snapping. And
taking,
I was like,
sneaky snacks.
Taking pictures of me. I was like, just come over and ask. Don't you take pictures of me.
Yeah.
So it's been very strange, but I, of all places, I cannot move in Tuam. If I go to Tuam, everybody there seems to know who I am for some reason. Well,
that's because you slated it.
It's the town review, yeah.
In the town review, you said it was a...
I said actually nothing negative about Tuam.
Did you not say it was some sort of nuclear disaster or...
What I said was, is there was evidence that Tuam perhaps wasn't existing in the same realm as the rest of the world. Okay. I said that there was clear evidence that Tuam was not made of physical matter, as other places are. So That's all I said. The people are lovely.
Oh, between you and Tommy Tiernan now, he didn't do it any favours on his TV show either. Did
What's
you see
he
that?
Say about June?
He didn't particularly say anything, really. He just said it was kind of... I can't even quote what he said, but the impression he gave was it was kind of a forgotten town.
Yeah, Tuam's a lovely place,
It's
though.
A lovely place.
Yeah, it's a fine town.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Tuam, it is a strange place too.
And now it has the plaza.
The plaza, the plaza gets me through some...
Bringing more life back into it.
The plaza's brilliant. It's so like a beacon of hope.
Can I tell you where my Tuam is?
Oh, absolutely.
My Tuam is Ballina.
Is that right?
I don't know why.
Right, interesting.
I can't walk down the street in Ballina.
Is that now... Do you have like a particular video that you made that really resonated with
Nothing
people
about
Ballina.
No, not a thing.
Because I know everybody in Ballina knows who you are, but I'm not sure exactly what it was.
I don't know either.
It over the edge.
I have no idea. But it was only Kieran that brought it to my attention last week. He said, like, you're massive in Ballina.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
And I could walk around the streets of Castlebar naked and no one would look at me or bat an eyelid or say anything to me.
But I think, do you think part of that is maybe because they just know that, there's Alan there. Like, he's just from town.
But is it a slight Irish thing where you're just, that's that bollocks?
I don't even think it's a negative thing. I think it's just, I hear, like, obviously he's walking around like, you know, he lives there.
It was a bit like Enda Kenny walking around Castlebar at the same time. He's like, that's Enda.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And anyone else would be like, hey, Enda.
But if it's someone novel, you're kind of like, ooh, they might not be here again. I'm going to go up and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other thing about you is, it's all just headshots. Your videos are mostly headshots.
Exactly.
So people can't get a concept of...
I'm a fucking absolute unit.
You're a unit.
I'm a big, tall, thick man.
I would describe you as a brick shithouse.
Yeah, I am a big cunt. I think if I had to take, like, shots of my body, I'd have to stand in a room bigger than I've ever been in to get my full body in shots.
Yeah, not at all. You're exaggerating there, like...
Yeah, no, I'm only...
But you embrace it, don't you?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah. Let's get it. Yeah, absolutely.
So
yeah.
do people recognize you? Does it take people a minute then? Because when I meet people in public, they're like, oh, most of them are like, you're tiny. And then the odd one will say, oh, you're a bit taller than I thought you were. It's all about my height.
For sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when people, do people take a few minutes to look at you and go, is that him?
I almost think maybe people recognize me easier because I'm so large. Because
you're not that large.
Well, no,
you're
I mean, in terms of like, I've
stature.
Got a very unique looking face,
yeah,
and very unique hair.
Let's describe you. Okay,
unique beard. So if you haven't seen me,
there's a unique beard and unique hair that is, it's kind of disheveled and untouched, yet also kind of neat.
Yeah, it's like it's got a chaotic beauty. Is what I'd like to say about it. Yeah,
it's like, do you do anything with it? Do you brush it?
I brush it if it becomes absolutely disastrous.
Yeah, I imagine women would be jealous of your hair.
I get a lot of comments about it. You know,
yeah,
I get a lot of comments. I get a lot of comments about dropping the hair care routine, dropping the skincare routine.
Oh, you could make a lot of money here on hair care.
I know, and I just use 2-in-1 body wash.
7-in-1 body wash. It does the dog. It does the car. It takes moss off the roof, and you can get a bit of a conditioner in your hair with it. So that's the secret. Just whatever is cheap.
Yeah,
2-in-1.
It's not about price. You know, it's about. I do wash it with shampoo. I will stretch head and shoulders. I'm a bit of a disheveled, generally kind of a man.
How often do you wash it?
I wash it every day.
Every single day.
Every day, yeah. I've got it because it's thick. So if I don't wash it every day, it gets greasy really quick.
Do you notice then that it takes people a minute? That people are kind of giving you second and third looks and going, Is it him?
I think it's hard for me to know. Because I'm kind of a large figure, I think people would be kind of like, is that your man? And then they kind of, I kind of stand out anyway. So they're kind of, I think more people, because a lot of people recognize me. Like, it happens a lot more than I would expect.
Yeah. And how did you get used to people taking your photo? Because when that started for me, I think around when I was doing the Cannonball Run last summer, where a lot of people were asking me for my photo, and I didn't know how to react and I didn't know how to respond. And I was like, sure. And then even for the first few, I was like, no, you're grand.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first person that asked me for a photo, I replied, no, you're sound. Because I thought, like, why would you want a photo with me?
Yeah.
And then it took
weird.
A long time for me to get used to it.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. Because it kind of happened overnight because... I'd say like in December, I probably had like 10,000 followers on TikTok.
Yeah.
And then by February, I had like 120,000 or something like that, 100,000 something.
That's very quick.
Yeah. So there was nothing. And then in the space of about a month or two, it was like pretty much every time I went out.
Do you enjoy it?
I don't want to come off as like standoffish about it or anything. I'm absolutely happy. There are certain instances I don't like it that much. I don't like when people just take a picture of me.
Yeah.
If somebody comes up and asks and they're like, oh, I love the TikToks. Yeah, do you want to take a picture? Yeah. Absolutely have no problem with that. But when sometimes people just take their phone out and take a picture of me, that makes me uncomfortable. Yeah. Or sometimes people will, I don't like when people write on my videos, oh, you're in Tesco now.
It's weird.
Yeah. So certain things about it I don't like. Most people are very positive and friendly and stuff. So I don't mind that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's weird. It's a weird thing to get used to.
It took me a long time to get used to it. Like, and I've had no bad experiences, thank God, touch wood. Everyone in public has been lovely. But, and I don't mind it now, because now I've kind of learned how to embrace it and start talking to them and how are you and where are you from and any old crack. And then you start to connect with them then, and then they start to say, oh, I'm following you since such a video.
Yeah.
Like they know the exact video that they spotted. And they say, oh, I'm following you since Donkey Gate or whatever it is, whatever reason they're following me. So I enjoy it now. I really do enjoy it now. The husbands are weird. I would have a lot of wives following me. And then the husband...
Yeah, my audience is like 65% female.
Is it?
So I have the same.
And then I'd have husbands coming up to me going, oh yeah, can I get a picture of you with the wife? And like he's like begrudgingly asking me for a selfie to send his wife. And you're like, this is the most weird.
I've had this as well. I was playing in the Shebeen the other night, and a fella came up to me, and he goes, can I take a picture of you there? I was like, what, with me? And he was like, no, just of you. And he just took a picture of me. He goes, go and send this to the wife. She's always watching your. I just got the sense he fucking hated me.
Yeah, I get that all the time.
Yeah.
It's just like, I hate your guts, but I'll send a picture to the wife. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's a strange thing to get used to. And even this morning, I broke down last night. I got a burst tire in the middle of the road at 4 o'clock last night. And I drove to a tyre centre and I slept outside the tyre centre last night. But at 7 o'clock this morning, I woke up to a white van pulled up beside my car, videoing me sleeping in the car. And I look out the window and I'm going, what's going on here? And him smiling takes a video and drives off.
Oh my God.
And I'm thinking to myself, what's going on here? And the only conclusion I can come to is he hates my guts.
Yeah.
The wife is watching the videos every night and he goes, I'm going to get a video of this bollocks sleeping in his car now and send it to the wife. That's the only scenario I have in my head.
You're probably right.
It makes sense to me. So hopefully after this podcast, that wife will reach out and say, yes, I got that video. And I know what you mean as well. I had somebody taking a picture of me outside Mount Falcon the last day. And it was a strange thing because I spotted them taking the picture.
Yeah.
And then I was kind of like, well, I'm not going to bring it up or say anything because if I said it now, to the people that are with me, they'll say, oh, you're stuck up your own hole.
But that's it. And you do feel like that.
Cop on. Who'd want a picture of you?
Yeah.
And an hour later, somebody else had sent me back that picture and said, I heard you were in Mount Falcon today.
Yeah, it's weird. So last time I was in, and this is part of the reason when I went to Houston Station this time, I was kind of weird about it because last time I went to Houston Station, I was sitting on my train home and I got a picture on my Instagram requests.
And
it was of me sitting in Houston Station eating a sandwich. And they were like, and it wasn't even that person that had taken the picture. It was a snap they had received from their mother going, he's TikTok man in Houston Station eating a sandwich. And I was like, oh man, that's weird.
Well, that's another level altogether.
It's just strange to think that people are like, I don't know, kind of looking at you or I wish you kind of just knew whether they were or not. It can be very strange. But so, the weirdest one I had with the pictures was one night I had to bring a friend of mine into A&E. And
I'm laughing already.
This was only about a month ago. I had to bring a friend of mine into A&E. And they weren't doing too well. They're fine now. But they weren't doing too well at the time. So sat them down anyway and I queued up to go to the desk. And then there was two young people right in front of me who had just come in with a friend of theirs who looked like got a serious box on a night out. And there was loads of people in. He was absolutely packed. Some people were not looking too well. And then the two of them turn around and start smiling at me. I was like, oh no. Oh no, here we go. They're like, are you your man from TikTok? Then they start calling a load of their friends who were waiting outside. And they all tried to take a selfie with me in the queue. In the queue in A&E. One of their friends was literally knocked out in a chair beside them. Blood pissing out of his nose. And they were like, oh, some of them had blood on their t-shirt from when they picked him up and they were trying to take a selfie with me. So that was the weirdest one I had.
So it was like a meet and greet with Garen in the middle of A&E on a A&E Saturday night.
Bar, yeah.
Oh, no. Your friend is doing okay now.
Absolutely fine, yeah, yeah.
What age are you, Garen?
I'm 28.
28. And how long are you at the music? All your life, I suppose.
Yeah, like as a job since I was about 20. And I, you know, I did various other jobs as well. But
what's the worst job you've ever done?
Oh, wow. Geez, can I say all of them? maybe it's music. I sold fuel cards for a fairly reputable fuel card company. I don't know if I should say exactly who they are.
Okay, go on. We don't have to mention names. But
the people in that company were absolutely fantastic. I absolutely loved them. But it was like a cold calling job, you know, and you just had to like self-source all your own people.
You're ringing businesses, convincing them to buy diesel cars.
Basically, yeah.
And convincing them that it'd be 2 cents a litre cheaper.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything about the pricing because I don't want to get myself in trouble. I'm not going to say anything about this. I'm going to completely skip over the product. I'm not going to talk about it at all, okay?
I'm guessing.
Have you had experience with a fuel cart?
Do you know what? I had an experience with it last week, right? Because I pulled up outside petrol station just outside the road here in Ballina, and the first day I collected this Volkswagen Touareg from Kennedy Motors. They lent it to me for a few days.
Yeah.
And it hadn't been a diesel in it, so I pulled into the petrol station. A man comes over to me and goes, "How did you find the Touareg?" And I said, "I literally have it 90 seconds. I said, you couldn't ask a worse man. So then he starts walking around it, kicking the tires as if he was going buying it off me. And I was like, listen, man, I honestly cannot have a conversation with you about this Touareg. I don't know anything about it. All right, Jack Grant. So he goes in, then he was getting fuel at a different pump and he goes in before me. And then starts lighting your man behind the counter for the price of fuel and it been more expensive than his fuel card.
Yeah.
And he's like, "What?" I was like, "What's going on here?" And your man behind the counter was just going, "You just pulled in for diesel, just pay for the diesel."
Yeah.
And then your man's going mental.
Yeah.
So it's obviously a
I've had that conversation with quite a few people in my lifetime.
It's obviously a controversial thing.
So I'm not going to say anything about the
right,
fuel card.
Right, so you didn't enjoy that job.
Well, basically what it was is, so I had to source my own customers. So I'd basically just Googling people like, oh, plumbers who use diesel, and then ring them and go, hello, would you like a fuel card? Problem was, everybody was doing the exact same thing. Mm. And there wasn't really a whole lot of crosstalk on who we were ringing. So oftentimes we were ringing somebody who maybe had been rang 4 times that day by the same company. And by the time they got to me, they wouldn't be particularly pleased. I had people emailing me saying they were going to do me for harassment and everything. So that job definitely thickened my skin. But what I will say is, I absolutely loved all the people in the job because there's probably a couple of them listening now. That was probably the one. And also, I was atrocious at it. Jesus, I cannot sell things to save my life. And all of my jobs were sales. And
you sell things very well on TikTok. I'd say things like potato waffles, sales of potato waffles have soared.
Apparently, somebody told me from a supermarket, right, that when they cancelled Lilt, right, the day after my video came out about Lilt, there was one shop that never sold Lilt that sold out of Lilt that day. And they said that they were giving me credit for it. So if that's the only thing I've ever sold in my life, I'll take that.
Well, I'll tell you a better one. I absolutely loved Lilt growing up.
Yeah.
And I had forgotten about it until I saw your video. And I went looking for it the next day and I couldn't find it. The next day.
Yeah.
It was hard to find.
Yeah, I was told by a lot of people that after I made that video, they couldn't get Lilt anymore.
It's one of the most delicious drinks ever.
It's so good. Well, it's Fanta, grapefruit and pineapple now. Is that what
it's called?
Yeah, yeah.
It'll never take off.
Just Lilt is just, it's just its own thing.
Though even the word grapefruit just makes you go.
But that's it. Because I'm looking at that and I'm like, oh, I don't like grapefruits. But yeah. I'm wrong. I apparently love them. But I just didn't know.
And any luck with changing the... So you went on a mad rant then about the potato waffles saying that they looked wrecked on the outside of the box. Mm-hmm, which they did.
Yeah, they look atrocious. Don't.
They would
Come
not
on.
Make you want to buy potato waffles. No. And then they were taken off the shelf.
Now, listen, I believe this is unrelated to my video and this is all completely coincidental, okay?
Right.
But they were almost immediately after that video taken off the shelf. But I think it was in every place. And then they came back. And as far as I can see from what's online, they have a different box. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it was me. I'm just saying but as it stands right now.
All right. So we're not saying that you changed the design of potato waffles in Dunn Stores.
Yeah.
But you definitely changed the design of potato waffles in Dunn Stores.
But there's now people have told me that the old design is still in their Dunn's. So I don't know.
I'd be checking checking the date on them ones.
Yeah, if you go online, people are saying that. So I'm getting conflicting information every day about this.
Have you went in to check it yourself?
I have. And the waffles were sold out. And I haven't thought about it since. So I'm actually going to do it today.
Yeah.
But people are telling me, oh no, it's still the old box. But then I go and look online, it's a different box. People are sending me a different box. So I think Dunn's is going to have to make an official comment on whether or not they changed the potato waffles box. And also whether or not they did because of me.
Maybe they had so many boxes printed that it's taken time for the new box to filter through.
What a shame that that's going to be such a printed form of artwork.
Come here, what's the most abuse you've got? Or have any of them backfired and you went, oh, maybe...
I've been really lucky so far. I'm sure it will happen. I'm almost positive it will happen. But I really don't have a problem with negativity.
Nothing.
Almost nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I'll get the odd comment from somebody who's just clearly trying to be a prick.
User 1, 2, 3,
yeah,
4, 5.
Exactly. Yeah, like somebody going, oh, your beard is shining. I'm like, okay, yeah, I mean, whatever. Like, but like, really nothing. No. Now I'm sure I'll slip up. Well, I have been like, sometimes I'll say something, throw away a mark in a video, and people are like, oh, you're this or you're that. Like, you're a racist or you're whatever.
But there's no substance to it.
There's no substance to it, and most of the replies are just like, he's clearly not. So yeah. So very little.
And you're doing the music full time now.
Music is my full time job. Yeah.
And has your recent fame benefited the music?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Are you getting an extra 250 a night now because of the TikTok fame?
Some places.
I love it.
some places. Let's look at the diary for next year. See what happens.
Yeah, there has to be an appearance fee along with the music.
Well, it's weird because in certain places that I go to. In certain places, it doesn't matter at all. But in certain places that I go to, it is absolutely packed with people who want to take pictures and stuff. And because of the nature of playing in a pub, oftentimes I'm just sort of sitting in the middle of the room. And then there's a lot of people who can just come up to me who want to take pictures or might come up. So it has become a bit of... It's a very weird... it can be very weird in certain places. Since
that's brilliant because... Knowing a lot about the music industry and knowing and having a lot of friends in it, I'd say you have done an awful amount of shit gigs for shit money.
I have.
probably the majority of them.
Absolutely,
like.
Yeah.
And now it's great to get a little bit of recognition because you are a fantastic singer, not blowing smoke up your arse, but
thanks very much.
You do deserve that little bit extra.
I appreciate it. Thanks
and the
much.
TikTok videos have given you that lift, given your profile the lift.
Well, she was a rare thing. Fine as a bee's wing, so fine a breath the wind might blow her away. She was a lost child, she was running wild. Said so long as there's no price in love I'll stay. You wouldn't want me any other way.
Yeah, I've been really surprised at how, because I don't post any, now I post everything on my Instagram, because my Instagram was originally for music, but I don't post music on my TikTok page that has all the followers, because I think that's not what people followed for, and I kind of don't like when people do that, when they're like, oh, here, listen to my music, listen to my songs, so I have a completely other page for music that I don't advertise or anything like that, and I've been so surprised at how many people have come over. Of their own accord, and have been very supportive, and yeah, it's been brilliant.
Have you ever thought about writing funny songs for your TikTok page?
I did one like fairly early on, and nobody watched it, so I just never did again.
Ah, yeah, no, but they're very popular. Like you see, Carol Mullen doing it on 2FM, and even the two Johnnies.
I think the thing about me is, so far, I don't know if you've noticed this from the videos you've seen, they're reasonably low effort.
But you say that, right? You always say that, and you always come on and you say, here's going to be a low effort video now of Cadbury's fingers.
Yeah.
But like, I'm here like dying to know what the inside of a triple chocolate Cadbury's finger looks like.
And that particular video, not a lot of people agreed to check, because I don't think many people watched that one.
Did they not?
You're deep in the repertoire there.
I was like, interesting. There's a layer of white chocolate in there. Yes.
Did you go out and buy them?
No.
You weren't influenced?
No, because I'm on a health buzz since Monday. So I'm on a serious health buzz, and I also have to give up sugar.
Okay.
So
so yeah, they wouldn't be ideal for that. There would be some sugar in the triple chocolate fingers. Yeah.
But I'm just absolutely fascinated by you, because, and I think it's obviously a little bit of your appearance as well, and you really command people's attention. The second you turn on, you can't turn off.
Yeah.
You can't turn
off. Oh,
I love
that. Thank you.
You have to wait until the end. It doesn't matter if you're talking about a dry, hot and spicy or Cadbury's fingers or whatever whatever rant you're going on. Did you get any backlash from the Town Review?
Not really. I think...
For people who don't know what the Town Review is, you didn't actually visit the town.
No, I just went on Google Maps. Low effort, as I said before. Absolute minimal effort. Like, I did a video yesterday about the Met Gala. I did it about 5 days late also, because people asked me to do it. Didn't know any of the names of the celebrities. Didn't know what the main looks were. Literally just Googled Met Gala, took the first four images I seen, didn't find out whose names it was, and just went on and talked about it.
Yeah.
So typical low effort, and it was the same with the Town Reviews.
Yeah, you just Googled the towns, you went on Google Maps, you got a few images, you started talking about places, but then you spoke about them as if you had visited, like, I heard you talking about a cinema in one town, and it was as if you frequently visit this particular...
That was probably Castle Bar.
Was it?
Yeah, and Castle Bar was my childhood, let me tell you.
All right, okay.
You don't know what Castle Bar means to the... That's probably why you're so popular in Ballina. Castle Bar means so much to the people of Ballina. Like,
why? Because it had a bowling alley?
Because it had a bowling alley and a cinema, yeah.
Right.
That,
McDonald's.
Yeah, McDonald's is the main thing, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like, if we were on the way up to Castlebar, I knew we were going hitting Argos. I was probably going to get a new bedside locker. We were going hitting McDonald's.
A Happy Meal.
I was getting a Happy Meal. I was probably going to go to Laser World for a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get that kind of entertainment in Ballina.
That's really interesting, yeah. I never thought about that.
So I think that's also why we've got a little bit of a rivalry, because we're a little bit jealous.
There's a rivalry between Castlebar and Ballina?
In the Ballina people, there's a little bit like, you know, there's a little bit of, oh, but Ballina is better, you know, vibe-wise. They might have a cinema and a McDonald's, and well, you don't have Argos anymore.
No. Yeah, they have a cinema and an Argos and a bowling alley, but they're shy crack.
Yeah, but it's all vibe here in Ballina.
Yeah. I heard you throwing an expression, throwing shade.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
I don't know.
That's just a thing. Is it a Ballina thing? No.
Probably not. Probably just something I heard. I say lots of things I just heard. I'm trying to pick up on the TikTok vernacular now.
Yeah, the shade thing is a new thing to me now. Maybe it's not new.
But do you know what I recently started doing as well? I recently converted to the skeleton skull emoji instead of laughy faces. That's a new one for me. I was seeing it for ages and I was like, do you know what? I'm going to take the plunge.
Oh, I'm dead.
Yeah. I'm going to take the plunge and I'm going to become a skeleton skull guy like the kids. And I said slay in a video the other day. So I'm getting so down with all the TikTok stuff.
What was the context of the word slay?
Slay, I said that everybody slayed at the Met Gala.
Everyone slayed.
I said everyone. I believe I used it correctly.
And throwing shade means?
Throwing shade is like to say something like...
It's be disrespectful towards.
Yeah, basically to be disrespectful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here I am letting you know about the youth.
Yeah.
And what they're saying.
You were in BBC yesterday.
I was indeed, yes.
Because I saw other content creators in BBC.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave us a tour and they showed us around and they told us exactly where they were and why they were there and what they were going to be doing over the next few weeks. And then this fellow went into a green room and he goes, Eric Roberts, Garen Noon. And I went, oh, Garen Noon. So I quickly went on to Garen Noon's page and I went, what's going on here? And all I could see in Garen Noon's page was, here's BBC Water. Literally the only story you had up was
a
bottle
of the water from the BBC.
A bottle of water.
Yeah.
So can you tell us what's happening? Because everyone else has told us what's happening.
See, I was under the impression when I left there that I wasn't supposed to say everything about it. So
let's start at the start.
Yes.
You had a 14-day train journey.
I had a 14-day train journey.
From Ballina.
From Ballina to Dublin to Belfast.
Right. Eamon Ryan needs to sort that out.
Yeah, could we please? Come on, Ballina. Look at Ballina. Up and coming. Joe Biden's from here. We should be able to get to every major...
Is he?
Well, you know, sort of.
No, I'm only messing.
So, come on. We should be able to get to every major urban centre direct. No stops.
Talk to us about the journey, first of all, because this is a little bit outrageous. So, you get on the train in Ballina.
You get on the train in Ballina.
Is that direct to Dublin?
So obviously you do your transition at Manulla, the big slab of concrete.
Hang on, that's not obvious to me.
All right, okay. So
you have to swap in Manulla.
Yes. So there's a place called Manulla Junction. It's basically just, I think actually somebody talked about this recently, but basically it's in the middle of nowhere. It's not a train station. It's just a big slab of concrete that you stand on and wait for the next train to come. So I stood on that slab of concrete in the middle. I don't even know if it's a real place. It might just take you into another dimension.
Is there shelter?
I don't think so. I think it's just a big brick that you stand on. And then you get on the other train. That train takes you the whole way to Dublin.
B&B Homes make your dream home a reality. We do it all from start to finish. Your one-stop shop to becoming a homeowner. Log on to brbhomes.ie.
Then I had to wait for 2 hours in Houston Station. I got a Supermax.
Is there a Supermax in Houston Station?
There is a Supermax in Houston Station.
They would build a Supermax in your pocket, wouldn't they?
They absolutely would. But do you know what? Supermax didn't take off up the north.
Right.
They have no Supermaxes up there. I think they've got one. They had one in Belfast, but it failed.
Wow.
There you go. But that's what I learned while I was up the north. So, a bit of trivia.
They don't like Supermax in the north.
They apparently don't like Supermax. Apparently, they hate loaded fries. so then, yeah, I had to wait in Houston Station.
2 hours.
2 hours, yeah.
And then how long is the train journey from Dublin to Belfast?
That's another 2 hours then. So it's a nice little lump of
How long was it from Ballina to Belfast all in?
I left here at 1 o'clock. And I arrived in Belfast at 9:30.
9:30?
Yeah, it was 9:45, I think, more like, yeah. So it was a long old day, yeah. It was a bit of a trek.
Nine plus hours?
About 9 hours, yeah.
That's insane.
It's wild, yeah. There's another, if you want to get 15 buses, I think you can go through in a Enniskillen. And that takes maybe 8 hours.
And did you have to be informed then when you got off the train then? Did you have to be...
No, thank God. I was so... Because initially, we're planning on doing it on the day. And I was like, oh yeah, that's fine. I was like, thank God I wasn't doing it on the day. Because I was so cranky when I got off. I would have been atrocious at it. But no, I got a nice little sleep in the hotel.
Although, all right.
Yeah.
You stayed over and then you went at it the next day.
Got up fresh as a daisy then in the morning.
And then 9 hours all the way back.
And then I did that, yeah, the next day. So I left then at 12 and I got home. Actually, it took longer. I had a bit of... Oh, are we going to call out Aaron here
yes,
now today?
Let's call them out. Come on.
So, I have a bone to pick with you guys. Yesterday, I got on the train. I was on the... Obviously, I was waiting in Houston Station for 3 hours. So, I got on the train. One of the first people on the train pre-booked my seat. I didn't want anything bad to happen to me. So, I pre-booked my seat. Said Garen Noon on it. Safe enough.
It's a digital screen, is it? Sorry, I'm a snob. I've never been on a train.
Sorry about that. Yeah. So for us...
I drive.
Us non-drivers at 28 who never got their life together. yes, it would be on a digital screen. Yeah.
Okay, it says Garen Noon.
Garen Noon.
If anyone's in any doubt
that the unit of a man who looks exactly like Garen Noon on the train is in fact Garen Noon, it's over my head like a sim.
I think if I ever go on a train, I'm going to book myself in as Garen Noon.
Oh, there's going to be an epidemic of that now, probably.
Yeah.
So I was happy enough. I was sat down, bought myself a little sandwich to pass the time on the way. And... So I was sitting there anyway, the train starts filling up, I'm like, right, we're going to be going soon. And then a lady comes over and she goes, that's my seat. And I was like, but it says Garen Noon, you've got a different seat. They had double booked my seat. And of course, I'm a gentleman, so I did get up and I stood in the carriage and I was like, it's not a problem. People will be kind of clearing off the train in about 40 minutes. That's not that long to stand. It's fine.
So there was no seats?
So there was no seats, even though I had pre-booked mine. It said my name on it. Come on. Guys, right. What's the point in having a booking system? Come on.
Yeah.
So I was stood there and I was like, look, it's fine. In about 40 minutes, I'll be sitting down with Grant. So we travelled for about 20 minutes, and then the Cork train broke down. So we went back to Dublin, and we waited for... So it was about an hour after the train, so I'm standing this whole time. Anyway, I was standing for about 2.5 hours before enough people got off that train. After I had come from Belfast and done a 9-hour trip the day beforehand, I was standing for about 3 hours, so I got about 2 hours sitting on the train, landed back in Ballina at about 10 o'clock last night, after leaving at 12:30, I left Belfast.
Are you 100% sure they double booked your seat?
Well, the lady said the same seat number on that lady's ticket.
But her name wasn't on it.
Her name wasn't on it, but come on. You can't make somebody stand, you know? That's not...
Yeah, I'm not saying make her stand, but I think she's wrong.
Well, she showed me her ticket.
Yeah.
I know it said my name.
Did you check the date?
Do you know, did she swindle me?
I think it was...
I did. Now, I'm a very trusting person, so I just looked at the seat. Yeah. And I believe she probably swindled. She's probably meant to be on an earlier train.
I think so.
She swindled me. I want that sitting time back.
Yeah.
She better come over here and stand for something I need to stand for.
Listen, lady, you stand in that corner and you have a good think about what you did. You don't have a picture of her, no?
No, I wish I got one now. Oh, and I don't know her name either because, of course, it wasn't above the seat. Yeah. She didn't book it.
That's horrendous. So you must have been like a briar when you got back to Mayo last night.
I have a very positive disposition, but it was absolutely very much torn from me on that day.
And then you have Alan Clark text me saying, oh yeah, you okay to be a performing monkey at 2 o'clock tomorrow for me? Whoa.
But yeah, no.
So tell us what was BBC about then? What were you doing there?
So listen, I'm just going to say it now, even though I thought I wasn't supposed to because everybody else did. So also, I think that by the time this comes out, it'll probably all be anywhere.
Yeah.
But so what it is they're taking a lot of people from social media who have like just are characters of some description, and they're making them do, making them sound so negative, getting them to do, giving them the opportunity to do 5 minutes of stand-up live performance in the Black Box, I believe is where it is. And that's basically it. So it's going to be a radio series over a couple of weeks where there's interviews, and then we talk to professional comedians, and we have to give them our absolutely terrible attempts at stand-up, and they have to try and fix them in enough time that we can perform and not make an absolute fool of ourselves.
And do you mind me asking now, and you tell me to mind my own business, but are your expenses covered and everything?
Yeah.
You don't have to go paying for trains.
Oh, yeah, no, all that's covered, yeah. And they're paying us a fee for the show as well.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, it's good crack, yeah.
The BBC, huh?
The BBC.
A great bunch of lads.
The first media company to give me any work, not a local one here.
Oh.
here in Ireland.
you'll be doing the death notices on Midwest Radio now on Monday. And the death has occurred of Bridie.
I think they'd be good at that.
No, it's incredible because you'd wonder how come RTE wouldn't do something like that.
I don't know. You'd wonder how come RTE aren't giving me a call at all, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But and yeah, there's a lot of great people doing it, yeah.
And how do you feel about doing stand-up?
I think it'll be like... maybe all right. I'm not sure. Like, it's very different, I think, to TikTok. You see, I'm not used to... I don't prepare anything for TikTok. Like, I basically just turn the camera on and say something. And if it's funny, I put it up. And if it's not, I do something else.
But you were obviously very good at English in school.
Well, no, I'm dyslexic. So I was atrocious at English.
So where did you get your vocabulary from then?
I don't know. I never really went to school when I was a kid.
But you're always saying words that I have to Google nearly, like...
Yeah, I've got a bit of a weird disposition to get like obsessed with things. So I like get really obsessed with things and I learn a lot about it. Like I teach a master's in music production. Like part of a master's, I do a module in it about sound design and stuff like that. But I never had any education for that. I just took a notion when I was 18 that I wanted to learn everything about sound design. And then a company found me that was teaching for this university.
What is sound design?
So, like, making sounds from synthesizers or repurposing sounds that, you know, maybe I might record maybe I could record something outside, like, say, me stamping my foot on something. And I would digitally manipulate that sound to make it sound like a big aircraft taking off or the sound of a space gun or something like that. So, that kind of stuff.
Wow.
So I have a very weird tendency to get like really obsessed with things and learn a lot about them.
Is there a name for that condition or anything?
I don't know. There probably is. I haven't looked into it.
Okay. You haven't been tested for ADHD or anything?
I probably do have something like that, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if I had something like that, but I'm not going to diagnose myself.
You don't want to know?
I think, well, maybe someday it might be a good idea to go and test or something.
And are you self-taught?
Yeah, self-taught with everything. So like music and all the stuff I do is self-taught. I was never really in school much when I was a kid, so...
I can connect with that because I'm self-taught. Like, I do a lot of video production, audio editing, like podcasts or radio ads and stuff like that. Yeah. I'm fully self-taught.
Yeah, but I think it's easier. I think I would resist it if it was taught to me for some reason.
You couldn't read how to do it in a book?
No, definitely not.
No, either could I. So if you get a new locker from IKEA... The first thing that goes in the bin is the instructions.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're like, I don't need to know what G is. I'll figure out where G goes. You just leave me to it.
Yeah, I have the fail a thousand times way of learning things. It's the only way that it goes into my head. So I can't read I can read. I can read and write.
So then back to your grasp of the English language then. What have you watched or what have you been listening to?
I really loved documentaries about like space and physics and history and like historical figures. So I think I just picked up like a lot of my vocabulary from that.
Is the world round?
It certainly is.
Certainly?
It certainly is.
Are you 100% sure about that?
I can't be 100% certain of anything. but I'm as certain of that as I am of many other things.
Have we been to the moon?
We probably have, but I think some of the pictures are faked. But I think that was just a propaganda thing. But I think we did go.
The reason I ask is I have a friend at the moment that is like on this mad campaign to convince me that the world is flat.
I don't think the world is flat.
And that like he was saying to me the last day that every pilot in the world knows it's flat.
Okay.
And what
are they basing that on?
I didn't get into it.
I think the thing with those conspiracy theories is there's like elements of truth to things. And people run away with the elements of truth. Like with the moon landing. Like there's some pictures from the moon landing that are definitely taken in a studio. Because obviously they didn't get photos that were like propaganda-y enough to put up. So some of the moon landing photos aren't necessarily real because they just didn't get the right ones. And then people go, oh, so the whole moon landing is fake. It's like, well, no, you have to put it in context of the times. Yeah. You know, they're having this space race and stuff like that. So I think that's where a lot of it takes off.
Are you into any conspiracy theories?
I don't tend to believe conspiracy theories.
You don't get bogged down. Did you get bogged down in 9/11 or any of that crack?
No, like I took an interest, but I don't tend to believe...
I went down a savage rabbit hole.
Did you?
Oh, it took over my life for a few weeks.
Really?
I was like going around.
What conclusion did you come to?
I was going around trying to convince everyone, like, you know, that it was all a massive conspiracy.
Mm. Okay. And what was that based on? Like some of the ways the buildings went down?
The two buildings just came down in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Straight down into themselves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so where do you stand on it now?
Oh, I kind of still, I just find it hard to believe. Like, how did they come straight down, fall into themselves, and then all the steel is just gone, melted. And you're just like, what? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's very strange. It's very strange, I think. I've seen like conflicting stuff about 9/11, about how it came down. Like there's a lot of people that are saying that so at those temperatures, and we're probably underestimating if a plane has like 10 stories of building above it and that falls 2 stories. I think a lot of people are probably underestimating that level of force.
Yeah.
And as that keeps coming down and hitting more weight and bringing more weight down, I think the reason that people believe those theories is because they're underestimating the actual amount of force that creates.
Yeah.
And then
there's
but
the plane
I could be wrong.
That,
who knows?
There's the plane that hit the Pentagon. And did a plane even hit the Pentagon? Like,
yeah.
Again, there was no real...
I don't know anything about that. Is there some speculation that one
there
didn't?
There's some speculation that it was some sort of kamikaze job, that it wasn't the actual plane.
All right. I mean, it's within the realm of possibility. And so the idea then behind this is that this was like a false flag to start a war.
Yeah.
Because
all these other people are benefiting from it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I suppose. I don't know that they would have had a problem starting... I don't know if they would have had that much resistance to a war anyway.
Or an old tweet would have thought. An old tweet. George Bush says, Saddam Hussein is a bollocks.
See, it could have been solved so much more easily today. Yeah, I think it's interesting. Like, I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting things like this and the things that don't add up about them. But then at the same time, I don't know if I can get behind the idea that 9/11.
No, that's
was entirely orchestrated.
It's hard to know what to believe these days.
And I don't think they would have had to go to that level either.
And hey, the future is very, very scary with AI.
Absolutely.
Do you see what they're doing now, where they're getting your voice and they're calling your loved ones and they're using your voice to tell your loved ones that you're in trouble and you need their bank card?
Yeah, yeah.
It's so like wild, we're going to have like safe words now for our loved ones.
And people like me and you are the people who are most in danger of that.
Absolutely.
Because there's so much
content
of our voice out there.
It's a good job my loved ones don't have a pot to piss in. Because if somebody AI generated me going, "Dad, I'm in bother, will you send me your bank details?" He'd be like, "Will you fuck off? I haven't a penny." That's what they'd get from my family.
But they could definitely do it so accurate from all your videos. All you'd have to do is throw them all in and they'd have you'd probably believe it yourself.
Yeah, it's very scary what's happening.
It is kind of...
And the head of Google, I don't have the facts here now, but I was half reading something that one of the heads of Google stepped down because he was so scared about the future of AI.
Mm. It's one of those things like... I kind of think of it like the smartphone. Like, do you remember when phones started to get smart and it was like nobody was really thinking about it. It was like, oh, we're kind of just using our phones. And then the iPhone came out and then like 6 months later, everybody had a smartphone and it did all this stuff and it had everything on it and you paid for everything with it and your whole life was on the smart. And it happened really quickly, way quicker than anybody could have ever imagined. And then in that time also, people buying music goes away. People buying media goes away.
Yeah.
In like a year, 2 years. I kind of think we're at that point with AI now where the change could be so fast that we wouldn't have any idea how to predict how it's going to go.
Yeah.
Because nobody would have predicted anything that happened then. So I think it's the next phone. But I think it probably could be a lot more harmful, even though phones were pretty harmful.
What do you do in your spare time to unwind? Is there anything particular apart from watching documentaries?
That'd be about the height of it, I'd say. I watch a lot of documentaries. I play music. I play music for fun. I play guitar a lot.
Who inspired you with your music? Growing up, like, who were you most inspired by?
Oh, it'd definitely been my mother, because my mother used to play. She knew like maybe like 4 or 5 songs that she would always play on the guitar, and I just always thought it was fascinating.
Wow.
That she could. And she's not a musician or anything, but she, I just thought it was fascinating that she could like, she could sit down and that like she could be the music. I just thought that was amazing. So I always wanted to learn. I was always trying to get her to teach me chords, but she didn't have the patience to teach me chords. So I ended up just learning them myself.
It's amazing how something like that can be so influential, because I know exactly where I got my love for videography and photography was my uncle gave my dad a present of a picture of Crowpatrick.
Yeah.
And it's in our hall. And I remember being a child, walking past, looking at it, going, I can't believe my uncle took that picture.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like a picture, a huge picture hanging up on the wall going, my uncle, Aidan, took that picture.
Mm.
And then I developed this love for photography, and then I, not that gone on photography anymore, went mad into videography.
Yeah.
But it was, I know for a fact it was because of that.
Absolutely. I don't think it's ever like somebody famous or something. I think at some point you have a realization that like, or like a person like me could do something.
Yeah.
Like they could do that. And once you have that realization that you could in fact do something, it kind of can be very obsessive to try and do it.
But it's interesting that you've drilled that down to your mum, because if you asked any other musician in the country that question, they'd start rhyming off, oh, Led Zeppelin or Fleetwood Mac or Daniel O'Donnell.
Well, that's musical interest, I think.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a lot of that. Mm. But I don't think I'd have had that sort of, oh, one day I'm going to be able to play the guitar and sing.
And was there anyone in particular your mum would listen to all the time or have music on in the house? Because in my house, it was Elvis 24/7.
Yeah, so my dad would have been a big Elvis fan. Like he would have been like, he like literally slicked his hair back like Elvis. Like he used to sing like Elvis. His party piece was doing, what's that song? Glory, glory, hallelujah. What's that song? American Trilogy. Yeah, so he was like really into Elvis and Michael Jackson. Bit of a dichotomy there.
And could he sing?
Yeah, he was good. Yeah. He was very good. Yeah. But
Elvis and Michael Jackson.
Those were the big two for him. Yeah. Yeah. Those were the big two. Now, his knowledge of Michael Jackson predated a lot of stuff. So maybe his opinion would have changed. I don't know. But my mother was very into like Eva Cassidy, and I still love Eva Cassidy a lot. So yeah. And even like when I listen to Eva Cassidy now, like a lot of the way that she played guitar and stuff would be very similar to how I do it. So definitely I think that stuff makes a massive difference.
What instruments can you play?
I would say only guitar, but I can piss about a bit on like keyboard and drums and bass and stuff like that. But guitar is like my primary instrument.
You just threw that away there. Keyboard, drums and bass.
Yeah, but I'm not like good at them. Like I wouldn't go, oh, I play those instruments. Like I can kind of fiddle something out on them, but
isn't the level of talent in Ballina absolutely off the charts?
It's insane, yeah.
And that's not running down any other town, but like, no, what's insane. Going on with Ballina? Like that they just absolutely breed unreal musicians and
singers. I think there used to be a really good music scene here. So I think a lot of people were probably very influenced by that. Like this used to be a big town for like live music. It isn't so much anymore, but nowhere really is.
Did you ever go and see the White Gorillaz?
Yeah, they're brilliant.
They're like absolutely epic.
Yeah. The quality in general of Irish musicianship is very high.
Yeah.
It's very, very high. Like even like I'm on a lot of the groups with like other guitar players and stuff like that. And the people who are just sitting in their bedroom, like not even doing it, like they're insane, like they're world class.
Yeah,
there's a lot of talent in Ireland for sure. I think one of the things though is that we have a culture of not putting yourself out there, so a lot of people are really talented but you just don't know, because we have I think a bit of a culture of being like, ah, yeah, you don't want to be shown off or you know that kind of thing. So
yeah, but around this area in particular, like yeah. I don't have all the names, but there's an awful lot of
huge. Yeah
it must be very competitive for you then to be getting a gig in the Cotton Cobble. Let's just say when there's 20 other unreal singers in Ballina.
Absolutely, yeah. Now, I don't play that much in Ballina because I go through a booking agent and they do everything because I'm incapable of organising myself. But there's a huge amount of competition. I mean, everybody that's doing it professionally in the town is really, really good.
But that's, I know the booking agent is definitely the way to go, but sometimes there's probably people out there that don't want to deal with a booking agent. Do you find that?
My booking agent's my mother. Because she...
Oh,
she,
not too
she,
bad.
She happens to be... that's her profession. She's a booking agent for a lot of people. So there you go.
Well, no.
An easy ride, as usual, for Garen Noon.
So I have a booking agent who doesn't get the booking fee.
No, I do pay a booking fee.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Oh, she's dead right.
That's good. What's the best gig you've ever done?
I don't know if I could.
Yeah, there hasn't been one yet.
I don't think so. No,
you've got excited.
Like they've all been good. Like,
yeah, but there hasn't been a big. Like, how come you weren't on the main stage for Mayo Day?
Because they had other people doing it. I suppose.
Look at old Stuart Miles down there.
I was on Today FM.
Stuart Miles down there doing Wagon Wheel.
Yeah, he's dead right.
Could you not come up
on Today FM though? That's I'm happy with that
for Mayo Day.
Not Mayo Day, no. For Joe Biden, which is close to Mayo Day. That's enough. They didn't want to give me too much, you know.
I'm messing because I'm good friends with Stuart, and to be fair to him, he got a great buzz like when he was playing on the stage down there. Like it was lovely to see everyone jiving and
yeah, for sure, yeah. He's great crack.
What was the gig on Today FM then?
I went on and talked about TikTok for a few minutes, and then I played Born in the USA. But I changed the lyrics a bit because it's not particularly friendly to America. So I tweaked them just to make them a little bit nicer.
You changed Bruce Springsteen's lyrics?
Just a touch.
There's
just
definitely a court case there.
100%.
You and Ed Sheeran now are going to be up in court.
For sure, yeah. No, I just tweaked them a little bit just to make them a little bit less harsh. But it was all for the love of America.
What's your, like, have you any goals or ambitions? Or are you just happy plodding along?
I'm happy enough. Like I'm kind of just pursuing stuff as it comes up now. Like I was doing music and I was teaching and that was grand. The whole TikTok thing kind of came out of nowhere, so I'm still sort of adjusting to the opportunities that I'm getting from that. So and I'm reluctant to kind of be like, oh, I'm going to go heavily in on this, because it still feels like something where, you know, in 2 months people might just stop watching the video. So because it's all very recent, so I don't really know, you know, what's going to come of it. So so for now I'm just kind of doing things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have you any goals or ambitions to release your own music in your own?
Yeah, I've got music coming out soon. I am working with someone that's helping me produce the music, and I was planning on doing it a lot earlier, but I got busy with stuff, and now it kind of makes sense to wait because of all the other stuff that's happening. So it kind of makes sense to wait a little while, but there is music coming out soon.
Does your recent TikTok fame give you any anxiety?
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
Did you ever have anxiety before TikTok?
Yeah, I suffer very badly with anxiety. I had panic attacks for years.
In what sense? Like before a gig or just...
Oh, all the time. I had agoraphobia for like 4 years. I was like housebound agoraphobic for like 2.5 years.
Whoa.
Yeah, so...
Where did that come from?
Probably a lot of stuff earlier in life. And then I had a friend that took his own life when I was 16. And I think that kind of pushed it over the edge. And then I got very bad for a few years.
And how did you overcome it?
I still have bouts of it. Not agoraphobia. Like, I still would have a panic attack now and then. But, like, I've had so many now. I did a little bit of CBT. Yeah, I think you kind of just... Like, if you have agoraphobia, you kind of have to just do exposure. Like, you have to expose yourself. It took a long time. Probably took me, like, 10 years to get out of it. It started when I was 16. And I probably only really started getting a handle on it in the last couple of years. So, but definitely TikTok, I'm not having panic attacks, but definitely I certainly feel when I go out that you know, you kind of have it in your head that you might meet somebody who knows who you are. So you feel to a certain extent like you have to be sort of ready for that. So it's like a sort of a subtle anxiety, but I think I'll get used to that as time goes on. It's very new for me, so.
Can you remember any moment like where you might be parked outside a venue and you didn't want to go in and do a gig?
Oh yeah, I've had to stop doing gigs before because I've just like had a panic attack on the stage. I've had to do that a few times.
And you just had to stop the gig?
Well, the other person I play with could continue the gig on, but I've had to stop doing it, yeah. I've had that a few times. And I've had panic attacks on stage as well and not had to stop. Like, it depends on the severity, but...
And can you describe what it feels like?
To have a panic attack?
Yeah.
So I think it's different for everybody because they can manifest in different ways. But I've had pretty much most of the types of panic attack that a person can have. So
the reason I'm asking is because I think I suffer quite a lot from it, and I would just start sweating like profusely. Like I would be soaked.
Yeah.
Where I would nearly have to drive around with a change of clothes in my car.
Yeah, absolutely.
In case I would come on one.
Yeah, for sure.
And I just feel like I have to get out of here.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd burst through the wall to get out of there.
Absolutely.
And then you get to the car and you're like, what was that about?
Yeah, yeah.
Why did you burst through that wall?
Well, it's a physical, you know, it's the physical chemicals in your body that are taking over at that stage. So it's not something that you can necessarily thought control your way out of once that process has started. So you've got to, I think, give in to that a bit and allow that to be the case and not beat yourself up for it. Because once the chemical process has started, you've just got to wait it out.
And is there anything that would trigger it? So you're halfway through a gig and then you have to stop and you can't do a gig anymore.
I can mostly now. So like panic attacks would range in severity for me for, I might get what you're saying where I get really sweaty and I just have a sense that I need to escape. Maybe my chest will start to tighten a little bit. I've had really bad panic attacks where I've rang an ambulance because I was convinced I was having a heart attack. I've had panic attacks where I've passed out from hyperventilating. So the severity range is quite a lot. And then sometimes... do you know what agoraphobia is?
No.
So a lot of people think it's a fear of open spaces, but what agoraphobia actually is it's when somebody has panic disorder, so they're having so many panic attacks, which I was when I was younger, that they develop a fear of having panic attacks in certain situations. So what would happen to me is I might go and wait at the bus stop and I'd have a panic attack at the bus stop. Then I'd be thinking in my head, I'm going to have a panic attack when I get to the bus stop. So before I even get there, that process starts in the body and I start having one. And if that happens 2 or 3 times, I might decide I can't go to the bus stop anymore. So that's the process by which people develop phobias is you... So eventually it got to the point where if I left my house, if I walked outside when it was really bad, I would just immediately start having a panic attack. And then, you know, you kind of expand your world over time once it gets... Because full-blown agoraphobia is when everything will trigger a panic attack. And then you just have to expose yourself to situations and realize that they're okay. And then the thing that makes it difficult is that your body realizes after your brain that things are fine. So your brain knows logically, I can do this. But that chemical reaction is still primed in your body because it's like, you know, an ancient system of the body. So you have to go through the panic attack a few times, know it's fine, to train your body to not have panic attack, which of course is not ideal because panic attacks are horrible.
Yeah.
And so that's what agoraphobia is. So at this point, I've had so many that if one comes up, even if I'm singing, I can usually still be fine.
I was down in Belmullet doing a gig with Cowboy Kelly, and I pushed myself to do 5 minutes of stand-up because I have a fear of speaking in public and public events. And I have a couple of public events coming up during the summer that I don't want to fear.
Yeah.
So I had initially said I would go down to Belmullet and I would introduce Cowboy to 200 people. I'll just walk out and say, how are you, Belmullet? Are you all ready for a good night? Here's Cowboy Kelly.
Yeah.
And then I said, sure, maybe I'll say one or two things. And then as the course of the week went on, I had wrote five or six things. And I ran them by him and I said, what do you think of this and what do you think of that? And basically it was just going to town on the local people.
Yeah.
You know, taking the piss out of the local shops and the local people and the local singers. And I knew a few of them that were in the audience, so it played into my hands quite well.
Yeah.
But before I went out on stage, I felt like somebody was sitting on my chest. Like a 20 stone man.
Absolutely.
Was sitting down. I could nearly feel his arse.
Could have been me.
down on my chest. And if I closed my eyes, I would have said, there's a grown man sitting on my chest and I somebody take him off me.
Yeah.
And that's the worst, and that's the heaviest I've ever felt.
Mm.
And then 6 seconds later, you're absolutely ready to take on the world.
Yeah.
Because you get this reaction, everyone's clapping and you walk off the side of the stage and you go, that went really well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you go from feeling like you're going to have a heart attack to feeling like you could do another 60 minutes out there. Now, I couldn't, obviously, because I didn't have any content, but it's a very strange thing.
Yeah, anxiety management in general, I think when you're doing something that's anyways in the public eye or in front of people, I don't think it's ever something you can fully get over. Like, I think you just manage it. There's always, it is worth it. To get through it and have the experience. But that level of anxiety that you're going to feel, it can very much be a wall for a lot of people. Especially if you can't figure out ways to manage it. Because it's very tough to manage anxiety if you're having to deal with it a lot.
Yeah.
It's a tough one.
How does a 28-year-old man in Mayo manage without a car?
I was living in Galway until a couple of years ago. So I was in Galway since I was about 20, and I was broke also, because I was like playing music and working in like the three shop, do you know? So I was broke, so I couldn't afford a car, and I just didn't really need one, so I never got one. Then we came back here during the lockdown, and when I got back, it became apparent to me in Mayo I would need a car, but obviously you couldn't learn. During lockdown, you couldn't learn to drive, and you also couldn't take the driving test.
So you don't even know how to drive.
Well, I have. I understand that it goes broom when you hit the pedal, and then there's one that stops, and there's a little stick over here that you mess about with.
But you've never driven.
Like, I have driven. Yeah, I used to drive tractors and stuff when I was a child, and I used to go around in the Land Rover in a field. But that's about the extent. Okay. I wouldn't be safe to let out in the road now.
Right.
Yeah.
And would you like to drive?
Oh yeah, I'm planning on learning. I'm planning on doing it in the next few weeks. I'm going to do my theory test and I'm getting my driving lessons and stuff. You definitely need to be able to drive in Mayo.
Yeah.
For sure.
And you're lucky here in Ballina too, because you don't have all the crazy roundabouts that we have in Castlebar.
But that's it. It leads me into it before I go up to McDonald's.
Yeah.
My first self-driven trip to McDonald's. That's going to be a big day.
Yeah.
Might even go to Laser World.
Clipping the curbs in the drive-thru the whole way around. Fantastic. Oh, listen, Garen, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today.
Same
because
to
I have been following you since you exploded, and I genuinely really love your content.
Thanks so
and
much.
I know you say that I know you say that it's just nonsense and it's this, that and the other, but it's not. You know, whether the creativity just comes very easy to you and it feels like it's nonsense to you.
Sometimes it does, but yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks.
No, there is something very, very clever and strategic and intelligent behind your content.
Thanks so much.
And it's not everyone that could do it.
I like to think everybody has their own thing, and maybe my own brand is me. So
where did Follow Me, I'm Delicious come from?
Oh, do you know, I literally, there was a video that I made. This is so funny. There was a video that I made, and this was right when I started TikTok, I think. Well, maybe I was like a month or so in. And there was a video I made, and it just wasn't funny, but I was like, I need to put up a video today, because I said, I made a promise to myself I was going to put up a video every day. And I was like, this video is not funny at all. So I was like, I'm just going to say something random at the end. So I just put a clip at the end of a real close-up image of my face going,
anyway, follow me, I'm delicious.
Follow me, I'm delicious. I was like, maybe they'll laugh at that. And after I made that video didn't even get that many views, but the few people that seen it would not let go of it. So if I didn't say it at the end of the video, the comments were full of, why didn't you say follow me, I'm delicious? It's brilliant because I have a free license to ask people to follow me and people don't get paid. Normally if somebody goes, oh, and follow me if you want more content, people are like, shut the fuck up, I don't want to fucking follow you. Now people get mad if I don't ask them to follow me. It's brilliant.
Because a lot of people would say to me, if I would go on a bit of a rant, they'd say, why didn't you do the wink at the end?
Mm.
And the wink isn't my thing. It's Cowboy Kelly's thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, you know, come on, and you had to do the wink. And he's like, that's not my wink. I don't own that wink. That wink
maybe
is...
you could do it with the other eye. That could be yours.
And it's not even a wink. It's like, it's just this little kind of twitch. But an awful lot of people would say, where was the wink at the end? Yeah, I need a thing.
It's wild because I had absolutely no idea probably until about 2 months after that. I was like, this is actually really strong branding. Like, yeah. And I had I didn't think of it like that when I started off, but I was like, everybody now, that even if they see my video once, like people will just come up to me and just go, oh, you're delicious, man. I'm delicious.
Yeah.
People will just say it. And I'm like, oh, that's brilliant. And that just came out of nowhere.
I had Big News Coming Soon, where I'd end every story with Big News Coming Soon. But
yeah.
I kind of stopped using it then because everyone I met would say, what's the big news? And it was like leaving me wide open to get stuck talking to people. So I had to stop.
Luckily, follow me, I'm delicious doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
You just go, oh, thanks a million, man.
You don't genuinely have people following you around the town. But with me, it was like, how are you? What's the big news? And you're just like, oh, I need a new catchphrase. So we're going to have to try and invent one.
We're going to have to develop one now.
Yeah.
Maybe just take the approach I made. Make a lot of crap videos and try and jazz them up with a phrase at the end. See if anything sticks.
When is the stand-up gig in the Black Box?
I'm not 100% positive yet, but I will be updating people.
The Black Box in Galway?
No, this is in Belfast.
Oh, sorry.
I believe that's where it is. This is all speculatory.
Well, why would it be in Galway if it's the BBC?
Well, yeah, I'd have to get another train. Actually, two, because there's not a direct train from Belfast to Galway. So I'd have to get another two trains.
So there's no direct train from Ballina to Galway either?
There is not. No, there is not.
So how what do you do there?
You get the bus.
So if you wanted to get the train to Galway, you have to go to Dublin.
I'm pretty sure I have to go to Athlone.
Oh, so you're going halfway across the country to come halfway back across the country.
I think so. Maybe there's another station, but I'm 90% sure I've got to go to Athlone.
Can you get a train to Castlebar?
I don't know. I never have. So yeah. I doubt it. I don't think so.
That'd be a good old documentary, wouldn't it?
Where can you get a train? Where can I get to on a train?
There's a TV show. Me and you using public transport to go around the country.
Oh, I actually think so, yeah. RTE, listen, BBC, we'll take your money.
Yeah, yeah, hey, I'll take English money all day long.
No problem, yeah, BBC, let's get it done.
Now, if anyone is listening in a production company, that's a TV show and a half.
I absolutely think we'd get at least, well, if we go to Belfast, that'll be a whole series.
Yeah, let's try and have a chat with them. Garen, thanks a million for your time.
Thanks a million.
Have you any questions for me before I go? I like to ask that question at the end, a bit like a job interview.
Oh, geez, I don't know.
No, that's fine if you don't.
I was never good at that with job interviews. I'd be like, oh, do you love ice cream? Or
have you any questions for us? Oh, no, I'm just really looking forward to the opportunity to work here. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I just love doing this job I hate.
Garen, keep her lit. And we'll keep following you, and you are delicious.
Thanks so much. So are you, buddy. Thanks very much.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
The Big News Coming Soon podcast is proudly sponsored by BRB Homes. BRB Homes is Ireland's number one award-winning manufacturer of factory-built homes. We take your home from start to finish. Our homes are A-rated and meet planning regulations. We build to your requirements and your budget. The cost includes your home being turnkey and our chartered engineer's fees. Please get in touch for a viewing of our show homes, a brochure, or for more information. Let BRB Homes take the stress out of your build. Check out brbhomes.ie.